It's summertime, and in the USA, that means baseball season. When I think baseball, I think hot dogs, Cracker Jack, and Mike Pesca. Maybe that's strange, but I'm in luck, because joining me right now is Mike Pesca, host of the podcast The Gist from Slate.com. Hi, Mike.
That was nice. Next time I'd like you to say, when I think Mike Pesca, I think Cracker Jack. And the prize therein.
Well, you're the prize today.
Oh, a rune. I'm cavelling.
So, big day in Cooperstown, New York, this year's Baseball Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Who's on deck to receive the honors this year?
It's quite a class. It's three first ballot Hall of Famers, which hasn't happened in many, many years. Greg Maddux, Tom Glavine, the best pitchers of their era, 300-game winners, and Frank Thomas, the Big Hurt, you know, just an excellent, excellent player. So the players alone would be one of the highest class of class. And then you have the managers who are going in. Joe Torre, Bobby Cox, Tony La Russa. So that's like a third of an all-star team right there, an all-time all-star team. Amazing players and managers.
Wow. But, you know, this is not business as usual. The rules of the game have changed. Well, I mean, the rules of the Baseball Hall of Fame have changed. What do I need to know about what's different this year?
Well, just yesterday they announced that they were going to tweak the process. And it used to be that players could be on the ballot for 15 years. And now the change is that players will drop off the ballot in 10 years. That doesn't mean players, after they don't get the requisite 75% of the vote of the Baseball Writers of Association, it doesn't mean that's it. They're out of the hall. Then they go to what's commonly called the Veterans Committee. So in practical terms, what this does is, well, if you ask the baseball writers, or at least those who make the rules, and it's not actually a vote of all the writers who make the rules, but they would say that it just stops dragging out the process, and you have guys who are on the ballot for so long, and it's really so unfair for them to almost make it. Although, if you ask a guy like Bert Bylevin, who was on the ballot for 14 years before he made it, he'd say, hey, I like the process. I don't know how that works, by the way, that a player starts off with like 40% of the vote and then winds up with 76, unless it's like a sign or a sculpture in the town park that starts off as an eyesore and then after a while it's like, oh yeah, we like this guy. But the in practical terms, the reason that they're doing this is, well, the reasons are many, but what a consequence will probably be that the players like Clemens and Bonds, who are stained by the steroid era, will not get in easily, will not get in by a vote of the writers, because it's thought that writers will forgive, or younger writers will come on and they'll just look at those guys' numbers. And the older writers have more against those guys. They covered those guys. They felt lied to by those guys. You can make the case that the older writers maybe felt that they missed the story and they're working out their issues. That happens, you know. So it will probably be harder for some of the steroid guys to get in with a vote of the writers. Maybe the Veterans Committee will let them in someday.
What about alienating, if not younger writers, younger fans who might like to vote on those guys?
Yeah, I mean, that is true. I think that the big thing is that baseball is really a nostalgic game, and nostalgia is, you know, a deference to the past that wasn't always there. And one thing that we're seeing this is, one way that we're seeing this is that baseball is the timeless game. But the timelessness of baseball actually can be the thing that cuts its throat. I mean, we have the specter of 4-hour nine-inning games. I mean, these are baseball games. This is not the ring cycle. And because the game is so slow, that, I think, is what is alienating fans. Although there is now an interesting new set of rules for a minor league, the Atlantic League, and they are going to try to speed up the game. Now, some of the rules are already on the books, right? You know, Major League Baseball umpires are supposed to make the pitchers pitch in a certain amount of time, and that's never enforced. But there are some other rules that are new, like when catchers get on base, they'll immediately be replaced by a pinch runner. And here's a good one. No, all those trips to the mound, three kind of timeouts. So a catcher can't visit a pitcher, catcher visit a pitcher. That slows down the game. And maybe what happens in the Atlantic League will, you know, at least train these younger players so when they get to the major leagues, they'll be faster. Or maybe the major leagues will adopt some of these new rules.
Do you think people will be upset about this, or does everybody want faster baseball, like the fans of Wagnerian slow?
Yeah. It's so funny, because if you really plumb the depths of the issue, even though baseball fans love the fact that it is the game without a clock, everyone thinks it's slow. Even the players who slow down the game. I've talked to David Wright about this. Steps out, adjusts his glove every time. Even he would like the game to be faster. I don't know why he doesn't just not adjust his gloves, but he doesn't.
Well, we do have a clock here, and sadly we're out of time. Mike Pesca of Slate.com and the Gist podcast, thanks as always.
Fat lady has sung. You're welcome.